Real quickly, I have to tell you what broke me just now. You guys don't get to see everything I do, but I got to tell you what just happened because it was hysterical. The offering plate is being passed to this very front row. And Charlie, he goes past, and Toddy puts his money in, and Melody takes the plate, and Sarah's dangling her dollar bill above it like she won't put it in, and she gets it grabbed and puts it in, and then Melody turns around about crowns Toddy with the plate in an effort to give it back, and I look over at Todd, and this is what Todd's doing. And then make sure to point out that there is a comfortable space between him and them. That about tore me up.
Okay. Oh, you want the music now?
Well, good morning.
Morning.
All right, that's the way. Hey, it is a joyful morning, and I've got the first joy to be happy for. In amongst all this heat and everybody whining about being hot, and everybody's carrying on about it, I took notice of something that's made me happy that this heat has done. It got rid of the stink bugs in our house. My golly, I can actually sit with a glass of water underneath my reading lamp and not worry about not looking when I pick it up and go to take a drink and look in, there'll be 10 of them in there. So that's a blessing. If you have an unspoken request, let us join our hearts together as we come before the Lord and seek His presence. Just a hand up and down as we move forward. Thank you. How delightful it is, Father. Above all, you think of each and every one of us above all. Above the greatest things that can happen on this earth, on this planet, you put us above them when you allowed Jesus to die for us. We should never stop thinking about that beauty and that glory. We should ever be awed and humbled and placed forward. And so we just ask, Father, that you continue to do that and hear our prayers as we join together. Prayers for traveling mercies. Prayers for mercy upon those who must go through long, drawn-out procedures to heal this body. Prayers for those unable to be with us today, Father, due to sickness, due to restrictions, due to whatever assails us, for those traveling, and for those forced to work today, Father, let your mercy flow upon them. Let our prayers be heard. Let us lift them up. We're ever mindful and thankful for our children, as they learn the joy of helping others, whether it be right down the street or 4,000 miles away. What a blessing it is that they are learning these lessons so young. Thank you, Father, for giving us this sanctuary, this place to go, and even for a short period of time, root in. And the blessings that flow from here, the Bible studies that take place, the teachings that take place, the schools, the fellowship, the growth. And thank you for helping us to not hold it in, but to take it away from you. We ask that you be with those today who help us do great things, like doctors and nurses, tow truck drivers, firemen, rescue personnel, police officers that govern us and keep us under control, military, those who have stood up to say, we'll serve, and have given the ultimate sacrifice, those who stay away from family for months on end. Bless them all, Father. And as was said in a bulletin in a church that I've read not too long ago, wake up, Washington. This is still your country. Let those leaders turn back and follow you, not themselves. We pray for strength in the days to come, in the hours to come, as we yet prepare to meet again next Sunday, Father. Let our prayers be heard. Let our requests be answered. Let our blessings flow, that we may show them to others for the goodness and mercy that waits simply within your arms. Join our hearts as we pray the way Jesus would have us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
What? Oh no, I'm here to listen.
Myron and Elaine Haar came to this church in 1972, and B.J. Wampler was pastor then. And we were mainly here because of Luke and Mary Petrick, which was Martha's parents. And B.J. and Roland, he was the music director, and they sang this song. I want everybody to turn to page 577.
And he's coming up, isn't he?
What's his name? Roy. Roy, could you come forward? He's going to lead us in this song. This song's very special to me. Okay, Mama.
Please stand.
What page is it?
No, no. You go right there. You're on right here.
You
make yourself at home. Make yourself.
I can't get that feel.
And you can cue the pianist there, okay?
When you're ready. You're in the leader.
You might want to do a little report or whatever you feel. Just feel at home.
Anyhow, I grew up in the church here, and I left in 66. And I found Christ after I left. And this one song that my dad and I sang. And there's a message here. In times like these, and we live in some pretty perilous times. Okay. Number 577.
In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need a
solid rock.
In times like I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure. I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips a solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure. I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips a solid rock.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Roy.
That was great. Oh, no, he couldn't have. That was wonderful. And you know why? Brother Roy, whenever I try to sing anything outside of regular bluegrass, when I get up here on Sunday mornings with that guitar and pick out a song that I really like and want to sing it, I get about three verses in and then I'm a mess. I love it so much. I can't sing it. And everybody keeps on smiling. It couldn't have gotten no better than that. Turn your Bibles. Get the pew Bibles out. Chapter 29 of Jeremiah. Oh yeah, that's it. Make a face. 1221 is the page number. Jeremiah chapter 29. I'm not sure, but my sermon title is different than here. Did I tell you? I said, are you really? Are you ready? That's all right. It'll fit. We got a double sermon. Are you really? Are you ready? We'll fit that in. Don't worry about it. Jeremiah chapter 29, starting in the 10th verse, that's page 1221 in the Pew Bibles. I wanted to tell you that because not everybody gets back in good old Jeremiah. Because sometimes he's kind of hard to read. Because if you start reading him and you pay attention, he makes you feel bad. So not everybody reads it. I'm commanded to. And so when I am, so will you. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. He's giving a letter to the exiles. He's talking to the Israelites who couldn't behave and got thrown out because they failed to be ready and to be really real. Verse 10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. Pay attention to verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Keep that Bible open. Let us pray. Surround us, Father, with the message. Surround us with the Holy Spirit that is definitely on fire here this morning. We hear it, we see it, we feel it, we touch it. Open our hearts, our minds. Let us set aside the labors and be ever thankful that you forgive us for our own selves. Seek us, Father. Cleanse us, make us pure. Let this message flow through me. Not anything of mine, but be your strength for those here today. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Interesting set of passages. The sermon title was called, Are You Really? But it'll also fit later on. Are you ready? Interesting set of passages. It took me a long time, several nights, to find this to fit because of what happened. I have no problems being bold. I just can't help myself sometimes. My wife would call it not able to keep your mouth shut. But I have no problems being bold. And it happened again, as it has happened, and I have related it so many times, but this time it went different. And it brought me to a dead stop. Of course I was in the most perfect clothes that you could ever imagine to put on your body. Work boots, bib overhauls, t-shirt, hat. That's God's clothes. Don't ever think I'm... When we get to heaven and He starts handing stuff out of the closet, they're going to be bib overhauls of white. I'm telling you. And I was dirty. And somebody was introducing me to somebody else. And now I had a beard. Finally. Thankfully, it's come back. And I hadn't shaved all week long because I'm trying desperately to fill this thing back in. And mind you, I don't look at the cat anymore when I shave. And the person introduced me and said, "Hey, this is Paul Leatherman here and blah, 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 blah. And he owns Steam Engines and Tractors and everything. And he's a preacher." And I got ready for it because I knew that it was coming. And the person looked at me and said, "A preacher?" I said, "Yes, I am." And they stopped me dead when they said, "Are you really?" My mind quit for a second because it made me think. Now, I quickly caught back up. And instantly, of course, I gave a little smart-alecky funny answer to get me going. "Of course I am. Look at me. Can't you see a preacher when you're looking at one?" But it got me thinking. Are you really? And I don't think the person said it with any contempt or anything like that. I'm thinking that the person said it in such a way as to maybe be a little surprised. But are you really? It made me stop. It made me take stock. It made me to begin to spend time thinking about things that I'm doing, about things that I'm being, about ways that I'm acting. And it began to have me ask myself this question. Are you really? Are you really what? Brothers and sisters, today I'm going to pose that same question to you all through this message. Are you really? Now, you're sitting there going, "What? Would you get on with it?" That series of questions can lead to so many answers. And we see them in Jeremiah. When I was asked, "Are you really? Are you really seeking God every day?" That's what I felt like she was asking when she looked at me, was, "Are you seeking God every day?" Did something on me not show her that I was a Christian? Did something I was doing not show her I was a Christian? And foremost and further on, am I doing something every day that makes people go, "But I thought he was a preacher. Are you really? But I thought they were a Christian. Are you really?" Time to take stock. It's time to dig in. Am I seeking God every day and showing His love every day? No. Not by my actions. Not enough. I'm being honest with myself. I sat down and started to prepare for this, and I started to get ready for this, and I asked myself that question. I called them up. I said, "Come here, boys." And the two little angels, the devil and the angel, showed up. Boop, boop, right there like the cartoon. And they said, "Are you really seeking God and showing His love every day? Answer us honestly, or He's going to burn you with the pitchfork and I'm going to smack you with my halo." And I said, "No, I'm not." I said, "No. It's time to shake a few things up here. It's time to make you take stock. It's time to root in a little bit. If you feel like doing it, flip over in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 and pay attention to these words that we gloss over. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to pound a few Revelation-type style old world revival words home here because it's got me shook up. When somebody asks me a question like that, I need to take stock. Matthew chapter 7. And I'm telling you right now, Brother Roy, if God don't speak and work in mysterious ways, this verse is talking about your solid foundation. Thank you for that hymn. Haven't heard that in a long time. Beautiful. Chapter 7, verse 21. If it's your own Bible, mark it. Not everyone who says to me, and this is Jesus speaking, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers. I wonder how many preachers are going to stand up there that day and say, but I preached every day. I led the church. I led the Bible study. Did you do my will? Well, what was your will, Father? I was doing your will. No. Anybody can get up here and write a few words on a scrap of paper and put a few scriptures behind it and say something. Did you show me every day? Are you really seeking me? Are you ready for what's next? It hit me like a ton of bricks. And I started thinking back. For the most part, I do okay. I could do a whole lot better. So my answer to myself was no. That's a heavy set of verses, ain't it? If you really want to scare yourself good, if you really want to shock yourself, you back it up with Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence. And there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Verse 15. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Serious business. Are you really? Are you really seeking God and showing His love and the love of Jesus Christ every day in everything you do, in every moment you're awake, in everything you can be? Are you? I'm not. Yet. I'm tired of people pulling these stunts on me. I want to have a week where somebody don't say something to me that makes me stop and think. I hate thinking. Makes my head hurt. I'm a guy. Guys, don't think. And I'm telling you right now, if you take those two verses, write them down somewhere, put them together, and every morning get up and read Matthew 7 and Revelation 20 and start your day out, it will literally scare the silliness right out of you. Are you really? Are you ready? Things happen all the way. I'm listening to the radio, and we talk about David Jeremiah, and he was talking about, and I only caught the tail end of what he was saying, and it made me stop and listen real quick. He said, preachers need to get back to preaching about pain. What? Pain? What? So I listened, turned the radio off, turned everything down, and I listened quietly. And I listened to what he had to say. He said, preachers today need to stop so much of this feel-good stuff. You're all right. He's all right. She's all right. We're all right. And get back to what's real. God gave His Son in a painful death to save you. Thank you. And you need to experience that pain by showing that love to someone else. We need to get back to preaching pain. And He is right. We need to get back to that. Some of you are probably listening right now going, this is a revival sermon. For some reason, I've got revival on my mind lately. And I made the comment in Sunday school, maybe we ought to have a revival here again at Long Meadow Church of the Brethren and go get some of them fire-speaking preachers. I'm serious. That three little words rocked me to my core this week. Are you really? I don't never want anybody to say that to me again. I want them to get back to what they used to say. When they found out I was a preacher, even though I was tucked over in bib overalls and dirty and everything, they'd look at me and go, well, that's pretty cool. I don't want to hear that again. Maybe I was doing something that made them think. Maybe they weren't thinking anything. Maybe that was God's words. Are you really? Are you really? Old preacher said, you know what? Every sermon you ever speak ought to have a little bit of revival in it. If it doesn't, you're not going the right way. And I'm hearing some preachers out there today ain't preaching a little bit of pain. We need to remind ourselves every day to be seeking God and Jesus every single day. Psalms chapter 10, verse 4. In his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. Brothers and sisters, how many times during the day have you allowed no room for God? Oh, would you like me to tell you when you did it? When you're standing in line at the grocery store and somebody ain't moving fast enough in front of you. God left that moment, didn't He? You want to go up and pay for their stuff yourself, don't you? Are you showing it? When you're driving. Ever since those three words came out of that person's mouth, all week long I had been working harder and harder to get away from my exuberant outbursts when driving. It's not easy being a truck driver, is it? We are that person. We are that prideful, ignorant, wicked, evil person. If we are only looking out for ourselves, if we are only doing what we want to do, we can easily become that person. And if you ever get a chance, read Psalms 10. It's ugly. It shows what evil and what contempt can do. It will destroy. It will take away. And we can easily hear those words if we allow ourselves to fall. Are you really? Don't show me anything that's a Christian. Are you really seeking God with your work, with your attitude? Here's the question I hear. Are you really living for God, seeking Jesus and His ways, living a life so that others might know that you are a Christian? I love to listen to other preachers talk, especially some that have been in the pulpit for a long time, because I hear things, and it makes me wonder, and it causes me to ask questions. And I recently heard a pastor on the radio being interviewed about pastors he churched as he was coming up. Now, I had the experience of growing up as a preacher's son, so I got to see churches from a completely different angle, but I hadn't pastored that many. As a matter of fact, I think, oh, this is my first one. And if I can behave myself, it might be my last one. Not that I'm going to get thrown out tomorrow. He was saying things like, when it was time to go do volunteer work, you'd think, you'd have been easier to ask somebody, would you write me out a check for an unbelievable amount of money than to come over to the mission and help one evening? People would sooner have handed the money over than take their bodily presence forward. He said the thing that got him was the lack of showing that we are Christians outside of the church. He heard these things like, oh, we don't do that kind of stuff. Oh, we don't like that. Oh, I'm not going to help with that. or I have other things to do. I'm sorry. Or I'm not interested in that. And he said these were simple things he was asking, like, hey, could you make a couple plates of cookies for the Sunday school? Are you really seeking God with that attitude? No. Are we going to sing at the retirement home? Or are we going to go down here? The preacher said, I didn't ask them to help me tear down the walls of Jericho. I just simply asked them to come fill a chair and help me show God to someone else. How often do you forget how freely our salvation has been given? What'd you have to do for it? Brother Roy left here in 1966, the year before I was born. Don't make me make you feel old. What'd he say? Saved after he left church. After. I left church in 1986. Graduated high school 2 months later. Was out on my own. We know the story. I got saved after I left church. Something to be said there. We need to be working here first. How free was your salvation? All you had to do was ask, right? All you had to do was kneel down. All you had to do was let go of the back of the bench and walk forward. All you had to do was call up the preacher and say, I can't go any further. What am I doing wrong? What is going on here? What do I need? And the preacher says, come here, I'll pray with you. I will read to you John 3:16. I will read to you from Hebrews. I will read to you that all you have to do is ask and you are saved. Amen. It's given that easily. We forget about it when we get asked to do something. When we go out into the world, we forget that He showed it always. Now, we're not going to. Not all the time. We show our thanks in the work that we do. Jesus didn't come here to save the righteous. In Mark chapter 2, we see that story. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake and a large crowd came to Him. And He began to teach them. And as He walked along, He saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. We all know who Levi was, right? Matthew. Tax collector. Oh, who wants to know a tax collector? I would. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed Him. And while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with Him and His disciples, and there were many who followed Him. And when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw Him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked His disciples, why does He eat with tax collectors and sinners? And on hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who needs a doctor, but the sick. I have come here not to call the righteous, but sinners, you and me. Are you really? Are you ready? Too often we forget that the simple thing that He did is repaid very simply with our faith. And all we have to do after that is show it. Don't show it to me. I already know you got it. Walk out that door and show it. Every day. I have got to work on that. I have got to work on that. We are not here on Sunday morning because it makes us look good. I've been here on a lot of Sunday mornings. I've gone to a lot of churches on a lot of Sunday mornings. And if you take a good look, and it doesn't make me look good, I still really only have a face and a body for radio. I may never get to television. I was on television once and they told me to get off of it because I was scratching it. You're not here because it makes you look good. No, you're here to get ready. Go back out that door Sunday and show the world you seek God, Jesus, and His salvation. And here's how to get it. Look at me. This can be you. You don't have to be ugly. You don't have to be sad. You don't have to be lost. What good does it do when we sit here through a message, get up and say goodbye to each other, walk out the door and forget about it? Are you really? And that's a question that I feel God through Jesus poised to me when He said, are you really? Because I've been acting pretty high and pretty proud and pretty mighty lately. And I'll tell you that. I just got knocked down again. Are you really? Friends, are we showing it? Can someone look you in the eye and say, yes, that is a Christian? Or are you doing those things that might make someone wonder? I often tell the joke about the widow who had no money. And she went to church all the time. And directly across the street lived her neighbor, a confirmed atheist, who would tell her, all of your prayers are nothing. And one day the widow was so out of money. She walked out on her porch and she kneeled down and she prayed, and she's praying for God to bring her some groceries, and the atheistic neighbor heard it. When she went inside, he ran down to the grocery store. Come back and put 20 bags of groceries out on her porch. Knocked on the door, run over, hid in the bush. She walked out the door and there was bags of groceries on the porch. She went, oh, fuck. Lord, thank you for blessing me. You brought me these groceries. And he jumped out of the bush and he said, ha! God didn't do that. I did. I went down to the grocery store and got them. And she looked right at him and she said, and you made Satan bring them to me. What are you showing when you're out there? What am I showing when I'm out there? When I'm in my truck getting mad. When I'm in a grocery store getting mad. When I'm going somewhere getting mad. Does that mean I'm going to walk out this door today and automatically a switch is going to... No. It takes an awful lot of work. I'm sorry to ask you this question, but are you walking around like this all the time? Is that the face of a Christian? Are you forgetting to forgive someone? Is there someone in your life you're forgetting to forgive? Are you forgetting to show love when it needs to be? Are you forgetting to be on alert that little ears or another set of eyes are watching you? Are you really? And I don't mean that everything in your world is going to be roses and candy. Sorry. We live in Satan's world. Not God's. Satan's. Not everything is going to be fun and games. That's where the test comes from. That's where the metal is forged. Jesus never said it would be like that. But can you, in all seasons of your life, be showing someone that they can see Christ? Can you imagine? Just imagine, and I'm serious. One day it's going to happen, brothers and sisters. We're going to be called up. We're going to leave here. Whether it's tomorrow or 20 years from now, we are going to be called up. And we are going to be placed in front of that throne. And I again point you to Revelations. He's going to judge us. Period. Everything. Are you really? He's going to judge you. He's going to look at you. Can you imagine what that's going to feel like? You're going to hear every nasty thing you've ever done in your life. Because He knows everything. And at the last moment, Jesus is going to be going, Dad, I got this one right here. God's going to tear that page out. Come on in. Come on in. If you are really living for Him, if you are really seeking Him. We need to be showing it, and I do not. I am quick-tempered. I myself sometimes cannot accept other people for themselves as the way they are. I am too often too quick to pass judgment. Me, I'm not talking about you. And many times I do mean many things that I would stay away from the church from. And sometimes when I'm asked to do something, I do it grudgingly, not with love. That's me. Am I really? You better know something right now. After that, I am. I am not going to let this happen again. Paul, would you like to come? Yes, I will. Would you please come? Yes, I will. Would you put on a clown nose and walk around the church and let the kids laugh at you? Well, of course I would. Are you really? Do you need more? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Him. Earnestly seek Him. Desire to please Him. Desire to know Him. Love Him. And when we're not doing that, we're moving away from Him. Our faith, our salvation, our desire for Jesus becomes stronger when we share it with somebody. There used to be a thing, and I can't remember what it's called, but it was called shared bread. It's the only thing I can remember it by. Some of these churches, the ladies would bake or get together and make a big, huge batch of dough. And they turn and you're shaking your head. And they partition it off. And you take this and give it to this person. And give it to that person. Give it to that person. And then you bring some back and keep the dough going. And they would do this and the bread would grow and the community would grow. And there would be strength from that. And for as much as gave out came back. If you are living for God, if you are living for Jesus, if you are showing it in the simplest of acts, you're going to grow from it. Happily, stronger, and be prepared. Be prepared to seek His treasure through all the obstacles. There's a great story told about a king and his kingdom, and he called to all the greatest runners in the land, and he said, there is a treasure in this kingdom that you must seek. You must start from this area and race to here. And the first person here has shown me that he has sought the treasure will win it. And as they raced along the path, they came to a point in the path that was covered by rocks and trees and mud and slop and everything you can imagine. And all the runners raced around it. A couple turned back. The king accounted for each runner. This one came, this one didn't. This one came, this one didn't. We're going to wait till we hear from the last runner. And the last runner showed up, dirty and nasty and beat and cut and bruised and carrying a box. And the king said, what happened? He said, I came to that way on the path. He said, but it took me forever to go around on either side. I couldn't climb over it because it was too rocky. I didn't want to go back, so I started digging through this obstacle. And I found this box. Sire, here, I think this is yours. The king opened it up and said, son, you have sought the key to my kingdom. Everything is yours. Are you really seeking, through all the obstacles placed in front of you, God, Jesus, His love, and showing it to others? We have to go seek the treasure, and we can't hide it, and we can't put it away by doing for others. Let me put this to you. We're going to Western Maryland Hospital today, 2 o'clock, right over here. Maybe 7 people will show up. How many? 10? Maybe 10 will come from the patients will be there. And you're missing out. You're missing out a chance to show and a chance to grow. One of the things that has happened since we've been there is this beautiful, beautiful woman comes in there on her little buggy. And she pulls the thing apart and she swings her buggy around and she gets herself motioned over in front of that piano and she starts playing that piano, and I don't even want to preach anymore. I just want to hear that. And she said one time, I said, why did you come play piano at this? She goes, because I just love to hear you preach. Oh, shucks, man. Showing that love. I charge you today. Come to Western Maryland. You don't have to do anything except listen to me jabber on a little bit more and sing. But you're showing. I challenge you that in this week, show it. And I don't mean just suddenly pick someone out and go, okay, there's the victim. I mean the person. Show it. Everything you do, every move you make. That question is going to burn through me for a long time. Because I am glad that it happened. I am prideful and hard-headed and stubborn and can be quite ignorant. And it feels good when I get knocked down. And it's good for me to be knocked down. The writer in 2 Chronicles, which I didn't mark, wrote these words, "Seek Him always, and He will restore you from your evil ways." Seek Him always. When the question is asked on the street or on that day of judgment, "Are you really?" wouldn't you want to be able to say, "Yes, I am"? Amen? Amen. "Are you really?" "Yes, I am." "Are you really seeking?" "Yes, I am." Say it. "Are you really?"
"Yes, I am."
"Are you really?"
"Yes, I am."
Then do it. Let us pray. Your word is perfect, Father. It never fails. It never leaves anything behind. And so I read back to you from your word out of Deuteronomy. I let you hear that we hear what you say. "But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find. You will find Him. If you look for Him with all your heart and all your soul when you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in later days you will return to the Lord your God and obey Him. For the Lord your God is merciful. God, He will not abandon you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefathers, which He affirmed to them by oath." Father, these are your words to us. Let us be ready. Let us seek you. Let us seek Jesus. Let us seek those to see us. As Paul exhorted to Timothy, let us be an example. Show us how. Put somebody in front of us to make us stop and think about our own self for a minute. And not in the way that we think we're better. Put somebody in front of us to make us stop and think what we need to strengthen and what we need to change and what we need to have in place to go forward from here looking for you. And let us thank you, God, for giving us discipline, for putting upon us the pain and suffering lightly that Jesus has felt, so that we know our duty, and lest we not forget thy blood shed for us. When somebody says, "Are you really?" "Yes, I am." Seek out our heart, Father. Every time we go looking for you and strengthen, we move ever closer. And you never move. You stay there ready for us. I ask you to burn within the brothers and sisters here today that constant question, "Are you really?" I ask that you burn within them brothers and sisters here today, "Are you ready?" Take them forth from here today, Father, with your message changing their hearts, strengthening, lifting up. Let us praise you for what you do, for what you give, and for what you take away. In Jesus' precious name, all of God's children said, Amen. Amen. Altar call. Need strength? Need prayer? Got an army of prayer warriors here. You need to know Jesus the way He wants you to know Him. As we sing this last hymn, let yourself be drawn forward and receive that prayer and foundation.
Please stand and turn to page 552.
Serve, draw to Him.
Christ is born to the cross where